to Beyond the Ring, a podcast that covers all things in the stock show industry from the informative to the insane, starring Ryan Rash.
What they hate in you is missing in them. Just keep shining.
And Dale Hummel.
Where there's change, there's opportunity.
Now on with the show.
Welcome to Beyond the Ring. This is Dale Hummel, along with co-star Ryan Rash.
Hello, hello, hello.
Good morning, Ryan. I hope everything is good in the state of Texas.
It's here. We're here.
It's hot. It's humid.
It is.
You had a great show weekend.
And it wasn't hot there. I mean, it wasn't cold, but it wasn't hot there. But it's hot again.
And the show was in Texas.
Yes, and we won, and it was wonderful. But yeah, and it's about hot again. And I'm going to Mississippi this weekend, and it's going to be in the 90s. I'm over it. I want fall here now.
I believe you're going to have a makeup meltdown in Mississippi. That's my prediction. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Is there makeup that holds up better in the heat that you have to gravitate towards?
All my makeup does.
Hold. You got the kind that is supposed to be heat tolerant. Kind of like your ear cattle.
Correct.
Does it work?
You've seen pictures of me.
Sometimes you tell me that it's not going to go well. It's too hot.
Yeah, very few. It's like in triple digit weather.
Got it. Well, I had a great weekend in Kansas. It wasn't difficult for me to talk my wife into going to the Kansas State Fair when Chase and Katie are both now in Kansas, as you well know. That is getting a lot of attention.
Have you bought your new house yet?
No, she's looked at houses in Manhattan, thinking we would save money by purchasing one if we have two children that'll be going through that program at K-State. So we have not purchased one. I keep telling her that we're probably fine, that we do not need one there, but she thinks it's a good investment. So I don't know, but it was, I believe, maybe my second time to go to the Kansas State Fair, and we were able to watch Cade's daughter, Lexi, show some pigs, help some of our clients out, and congratulations to both Lexi and Lakin Rookstool on Lexi's swine show ring success and Lakin's success in the goat ring. It was a very good weekend. And you're going to be a little surprised on one of the highlights that I have, kind of a public service announcement, Ryan.
I can't wait.
So Chase, on the way back from the state fair to Manhattan, and we were actually staying in Wichita because there were no rooms available closer, there is a zoo right there in Wichita, and I'd have to go back and look at the exact name of it. Sedgwick County Zoo, I believe, is what it was. And I'm thinking, well, a county zoo, probably just a few animals here and there, things like that. Wasn't expecting much. Ryan, I was blown away. It is now, the Sedgwick County Zoo is now my favorite zoo worldwide. And I strongly recommend anybody in the Wichita area stop in at the Sedgwick County Zoo. Incredible. It looks like, it's almost like a livestock person designed the zoo from an animal behavior and well-being and comfort standpoint, yet still very accessible to those that are visiting the zoo. It was extremely, extremely. I can't tell you how impressed I was with it. Chase gives it a 10 out of 10.
There you go.
What else is going on in the world besides...
For all you zoo people out there, make sure you go.
Yes, please go.
Uh-huh.
And I've been to a lot of zoos. This is the best one by far. I've never heard
very
of it
well
before.
Aware.
Best one.
Easily. Still confused.
I did tell you about this before.
Zoo fetish, today, right? But what?
I did mention this while I was there shortly after to you.
Yes. I'm very
and
confused about your zoo
you
fetish.
I encourage you to go, but not going to happen.
I'm not going to a zoo ever. So
ever. Yeah, no, have you ever no. been to a zoo?
I don't think so.
Seriously.
I really don't think so.
Fort Worth has a nice zoo. It's right there by the stock show.
Yeah, and they keep the Grand Reserve steer there from Fort Worth, and I've never been. But
they do. I know they used to. Do they still do that? I remember going there, and I saw the Grand Reserve goats as well. That happens at a couple different places, I believe. I wasn't aware Fort Worth still did that, but that's interesting.
Pretty sure. Yeah, but no, I don't. No.
Are you traveling to North Carolina in the near future?
I am.
And taking public transit?
Well, plane.
Okay, there you go. Fair enough. What do you think of the situation there with...
Why are you going to bring North Carolina into this? I'm judging at the end of the month.
That is where this incident took place.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to Charlotte, okay?
Got it. Well, I as this morning, as Ryan brought to my attention, that he totally missed this, wasn't on the radar, the stabbing on, I believe, the subway or the train that took place. It's on video and all over social media. Terrible, terrible situation. I was unaware, Ryan, that happened in August. I thought it happened just a few days ago.
It happened August 22nd. I missed it completely. So
I don't know. I just don't know that it was on the media until a few days ago.
Well, it's everywhere now, and Trump has called for the death penalty and all these things.
Well, if we watched him do it, we have video. This is one of those cases. Remember when I tell you when there's no question that the person is guilty, that I think instant, no trial, no, just done, can happen. And it appears though Trump's kind of on the same page.
Yeah. I've watched the video, or several thousand of the videos, watched it over, and like, this girl's just sitting in the train bench in front of this guy playing on her phone, and there's no talking, no nothing, you know, nothing goes on. He pulls like a blade and then slashes or stabs or whatever and just walks off. And 2 minutes later, she's dead. So I obviously the guy's got mental issues. And I mean, like, this is kind of like, you know, I don't think guns kill people. I think mentally deranged people with guns kill people. And this is kind of the same thing. This guy just crazy.
So do we put a ban on knives now? We can't have.
No, I'm not saying that, but I'm
just I'm pointing out that isn't going to solve the problem.
Right. No, and you know, everybody's blowing this up into a big racial thing, and I'm not saying it's not, because there is, you can clearly hear the man say, "I got that white girl." So
I wasn't aware of that.
Clearly, you're less aware than I am.
I am, very much so. Well, that brings a racial segment into it. And I wasn't even thinking that prior to.
But, like I said, it's a mess. And my biggest thing is how did this go undetected for so long? And now it's the hugest story. I mean,
I'm assuming, like, the video just,
they're comparing it to George Floyd and all this other, like, because, you know, people are mad that said he got that white girl, and everybody's like, well, where was the justice for George Floyd? And I mean, like, it's not good. Like, this is really stirring up huge racial things right now. And of course, Dale's not aware, but
no, I was unaware of that part. I want to come back to the fact that anybody that takes the life of someone else, and it appeared as though there was no motive, no self-defense, there was no reason that he had to take this person's life. Anybody that takes another life intentionally without a self-defense or some type of situation like that, in my opinion, is mentally deranged. So everybody that commits a murder, in my mind, has a mental issue. With that said, I don't know where you come into play on, do you use this as an excuse or justification, or how does that come into play? I don't know. I do know what he's been arrested 14, 15 times, mugshots.
A lot.
Clearly the system has failed, and everybody said, well, we need to get mental help for him through social workers and so forth. And I'm not trying to pick on social workers, but I just don't know that the system in place is going to help many people. If they can, there's not enough to help. And I'm not positive that those that are in the system, I don't know. I think that, let's just summarize it. The system is not in a good place, nor do I know if it can ever become that safety net for those that have mental issues. I wish it could. I don't know. To me, this person, one way or another, can never be out in public ever again the rest of his life. Well, mentally deranged or not, does not matter.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to see the light of day, to be honest, but it's just a mess, a big old mess. In other news, since you love everything about the Democrats and the Democratic Party, guess who is now leading, has jumped up like...
I have no idea.
15 points.
Your boyfriend in California.
Yes. Yes.
Now you're on his band. Are you sending him?
No. No, but he has surpassed Kamala, Camel Toe, and AOC. And he is almost garnered a fourth of the support of the Democratic Party for like the third poll. And they have crowned him the new king. So it's Gavin. So Pete Buttplug and Camel Toe and AOC, they can all go away. Gavin is the winner.
You'll get to see Gavin on TV a little bit more.
Yeah, I think a lot.
So I don't like the fact that he would be the nominee because he is so good at speaking in public and lying to your face.
It's very scary.
Oh, he's very talented.
I'm still pulling for AOC. I personally think she should be the winner.
Yes, I think she's the easiest to defeat.
Yeah, I'm with her.
Gavin, and you could look at his record. Anybody that would look at the record of California when he's in there is not, could not, cannot make a case for him, but they aren't going to. That doesn't matter. He's going to get up there. Remember that debate with DeSantis?
He mopped the floor with your boy, Don Juan.
And it was, I mean, nothing was factual. And it didn't slow him down one bit.
No, nothing he said was correct, but it did not slow him down one bit. And his ability to sell it was just crazy.
Incredible.
I mean, even Hannity, who had all the vet when it couldn't get,
that's not good. I mean, can you think of any of the Republican candidates that are going to get up there and debate him well? Because they're going to use facts. He's going to blow right through it. It's a mess.
They're going to have to let Trump do it.
You can't let Trump debate for you.
They're going to have to let Trump do it. That's what I've decided.
I think Trump could.
Because he just tell him that you're full of shit. Nobody else is going to do that. You know what I'm saying?
And I think that's going
to... That's why I said they're going to have to let Trump do it.
That is the only approach that'll work with him.
Yeah. No, absolutely. You can't... I think that was the problem with Don Juan. I mean, he tried to call him out for all the lies, but he tried to do it politically correctly and politely, and that's not going to work with this dude at all. It's not. That's why I said they're just going to have to let Trump debate him.
Scares me. Did you hear that Trump and the United States military, drug agency, whatever you want to refer to it, took out another boat? I think they may have taken... I don't have the details. I watched the boat blow up. I think they may have taken the people off the boat first this time. I'm not sure.
No, didn't say anything about that. I can't believe you didn't send me the stuff about the thing that they tried to blow up that didn't blow up. Because I'm sure you think it's...
Don't you worry. That was saving the best for last.
You didn't. But see, you didn't even send that to me.
Oh, I thought I did.
No, you did not. I had to find out about it myself. Yeah, you didn't send it to me.
I texted it to you last night.
I don't think so.
Yes, go check your text. Okay,
sent me moon stuff, pyramid stuff.
Yeah, no. And then there's one more. Uh-oh. One more UAP stuff. Maybe I sent it to a total stranger. I don't know.
I don't think you sent it to me.
Possible. Okay, so we have a situation that just recently came up. I believe it was September 9th, so very recent. There was a UAP. Unidentified, we're going to call them UFOs. More people know about UFOs than UAPs. Hearing in the House and the House Oversight Committee, they talk about restoring public faith or public trust via transparency about UFOs. So they had a committee meeting and they brought up a situation that happened last fall, I believe, October of 24. They brought in witnesses. That basically, and as much evidence as you could ever imagine, radar, film, everything, more than enough to verify this happened. There is no debating it. I don't think anybody's trying to say this didn't happen. Off the coast of Yemen, October of 24, we fire a Hellfire missile at what they call a glowing orb, a UAP. The missile hit it, but didn't destroy it. The orb reformed, as they put it, released smaller orbs and sped off. witnesses say that the U.S. tech, we have nothing that can survive a hellfire strike like that. We know of nothing that can survive it, yet it did. So nobody's coming out and saying, hey, this is a UFO or a UAP, but they're saying that they fired a hellfire missile at something. It hit such, did not alter its course, did not damage it, did not do anything, and the hellfire missile was basically destroyed. So with that said, in this coming up in a House committee hearing, there will be more to this, and there is no way to deny, it appears, with the evidence that was presented, and they claim there's many more situations like this that have yet to be uncovered. So Ryan, I think it goes back to a theory that you and I had, that if aliens exist, the perception or the thought process behind the U.S. and maybe other countries, that there'll be mass panic if all of a sudden the public realizes it. Would it not make sense to bring some of this information slowly out that could be questioned and acclimate the public to such over time so there isn't that panic? I think this is the next step in the process. Your thought?
Good. I don't.
Did you pull that up, whether I send it or somebody else sent it to you?
No, it's the third story on Fox News this morning. That's why I know about it.
Your opinion on it?
It's extremely disturbing.
It's hard. There appears to be nobody debating this happened.
No.
Nobody questioning it. You could say it's something other than an alien. You could say it's a Russian-made something or Chinese or whatever.
I just have very large problems with the fact that whatever it was, we couldn't destroy it, and it did reformate something, and little things came out of it, and then it moved on along its way. Yeah, or at least that's the video.
I think why would we fire upon something like that if it's clear their technology is far above ours? Why would we want to pick a fight with somebody much larger?
I don't know. Talk to the government, not me.
That doesn't make any sense to me. That was a terrible idea. If they thought it was an incoming something to protect themselves, yeah, but it doesn't appear to be that way. You want to know the scarier thing? I would prefer this is some other life form that we're unaware of or alien life form. Versus Russia, China, North Korea, somebody else having technology at that level. Would you not prefer?
Oh, yeah, I'd rather it be aliens because the aliens are as smart as I think they are. They ain't coming nowhere near this place.
It'd be better than Little Rocket Man or Putin or Xi having that technology, correct?
Correct.
So I don't know where this goes. Why would it not be the lead story? Why is it third?
I don't know. I'm just telling you. On there.
I'm surprised. I still think I sent that to you, by the way.
No, you did not. But next.
It sounds like ICE is in Chicago, full force.
Oh, good.
He has not sent the National Guard there too. No, they have not sent it in. It appears though Pritzker and
Dale's going to go pass out lunches to the National
Guard. Oh, I would. No, I would. Yes, happy to do that. I don't like going to Chicago, but I'd go there for that reason. Mm-hmm. So Pritzker and the little mayor of Chicago, who we don't even know his name. They appeared.
I miss Beetlejuice.
I don't. I really don't.
She was way more fun.
This mayor doesn't put his picture up all over the airport. So I like this person for that small gesture that he put out there or failed to put up. With this happening, it appears though Pritzker and this mayor value the perception that Chicago is a great city, it is safe, more than the lives of children that are being killed every week, every weekend specifically, and not willing to allow Trump to come in with the National Guard and help. It amazes me that they will try to stand on that ground and continue to push back rather than trying to cooperate. Please explain it to me, Ryan. These are your people.
These are not my people. I don't even know anyone in Chicago. Stop.
Do you know how pleased I am that I avoided
the mayor's name is Brandon Johnson.
Yes, that does sound familiar, doesn't it? Not even that hard to remember, and neither of us.
I looked it up. It's too generic of a name for me. That's why I don't remember it. But yeah, no, I did. Chicago's lovely. It's a beautiful place.
No, you have not spent enough time there.
I'm being sarcastic.
Oh, got it. You do go to the airport often. And is that not the biggest shithole of an airport there is? It's terrible. I've been to a lot of third world airports, and I would prefer them to O'Hare.
But I clearly there is a huge crime problem in Chicago, and they can spin it any way they want. But there is. I don't listen to everybody on this issue, but Megyn Kelly seems to think that it is unconstitutional for Trump to send in the National Guard to Chicago. So
I'm not going to argue with that, but I'm also at the point where I don't know what the other, if it's going to save lives, what do you do here? I'm not trying to throw away the Constitution or anything like that, but wouldn't you think Trump shouldn't have to even threaten to do this, that our governor and the mayor should step up and take this initiative themselves?
No, they should, but they're not going to.
No, that would admit that they have a problem.
Exactly.
And they're avoiding that with all.
Cannot
with all,
do that.
Yeah.
We're just
every resource they've got.
Walk down the river and act like everything's fine.
Amazing. Just amazing. I do have a sponsor for our main topic, Merck Animal Health. Anyone in our industry knows that effectively managing your time and hitting breeding windows are crucial to success. SenseHub Cow-Calf from Merck Animal Health gives you the ability to improve both. With 24/7 monitoring, SenseHub Cow-Calf helps save time spent on visual checks and delivers data you can use to detect heats and make informed decisions on reproduction timing for AI and embryo transfer. This changes everything. Learn more at sensehub-cowcalf.com. Thank you, Merck Animal Health, for your continued support of this podcast. It's hot. We know it's hot. And I can assure you, if your animals are not drinking, they're not going to get along. ShowFresh H2O is the only product out there that completely eliminates chlorine from drinking water, keeping your animals hydrated and ready to hit the show ring. If you want to feel better about your purchase, this product is made right here in America by good people. You can pre-order ShowFresh H2O now at your local farm store, your favorite show supply trailer, or head over to swampfox.com. Are you ready for the main topic?
Sure.
International exposure.
Yes.
This is interesting. We've discussed talking about this before, but Ryan put it back up on the top two, I believe, of the episodes he was wanting to do here in the near future.
That's because Dale doesn't do any episodes and comes up with no topics, so I have to keep...
You keep coming up with great ones. I like this one. I love this one. As many of you know, I enjoy traveling. I enjoy looking at livestock and specifically cattle in other countries and have been doing so since basically I was in college. And I am a little bit blind to this, but when I step back and think about it, when we have such an established junior stock show industry, world, community here in the U.S., I think there's a lot of people out there, the perception is that other countries have the same. Is this true, Ryan?
I don't get asked about it a lot, but when I do, and I talk to people about, you know, shows from other countries, and not that I've been to a ton of them, but I have been to some, not nearly as many as Dale or anything like that. But I mean, I've judged several in Mexico and Canada. And I've been, you know, when my mother used to make us travel all over God's green earth, she would try to find a livestock event of some sort to appease me, which it didn't because I didn't like any of them. But anyway, so I've seen several in several different countries, and they're just nothing like what we have here. It's just drastically different. And so when I talk about this with other people, people ask me and I tell them, they're quite surprised.
No, I think if we were to compare it to the United States, you'd have to go back to the 60s, 70s, maybe even early 80s, where when we obviously had junior shows then, but they were still developing. They're nothing like they are now. But Ryan, we still have the open cattle shows, but at one time, the open livestock show, or if you were going to show at Louisville, at the North American, say you're showing cattle, whatever breed you want to pick, in 1970-something. Not that you were even born then, but if you were...
I was not.
What What was the scenario there? Was there a 12-year-old kid leading a heifer into the ring?
I doubt it.
No, it was all breeders or very influential people that were dragging these cattle into the open show ring. Where an open show now is basically a rewind or a rerun of the junior show, isn't it?
Yeah, but I mean, for sure. When I can remember, like I said, I wasn't even close to born in 1970, but I can. And when we had Jim Williams on here a while ago, he talked about it too. Like his two girls and I were three of the very first junior kids to show in open shows.
It just didn't happen prior to that.
Right.
I'm not saying never, but for the most part, it didn't happen.
And you damn sure didn't win. I mean, we were like the first one. So, yeah, I guarantee you back then that didn't happen. And it's just the concept of, I'm telling you, when I first started showing in open shows, everyone that we had bought cattle from, like, y'all can't let him show. He's not going to win. They're not going to let a kid win. Like, that was just whatever. And I was like, screw you. I'll show you anyway. But yeah, so that was a real thing.
So if you speak to livestock people in other countries that show livestock, and I'll use Argentina as example. I've had a chance to be at the Palermo show in Buenos Aires several times. And I can think of an 18, 17-year-old out there showing, and they thought that was kind of a big deal that he had come from a very established family and well-recognized that he was capable or allowed to go out on that show ring, kind of like what you were talking about, Ryan. It just doesn't happen. Well, the junior show and our perception of what the junior stock show is almost a separate show or separate situation from what we have anywhere else in the world. Canada does have junior shows, and I would say that they're developing more and more each year. So with the exception of Canada, the rest of the world, this is completely unknown. I shouldn't say unknown. They're not aware of it. They don't look at it the same way as we do. They look at showing livestock similar to what we did many years ago, that here is a way to display our genetics, and not that we don't use it here for that as well, partially, but put our genetics out in front of people that may want to purchase purebred seed stock, that may want to incorporate that into their commercial operation, and even to a point that the show ring almost sets a trend or an example of here's the type of animal that maybe you should be raising. And we're very detached from that here in the United States to more of a junior program. And it's about developing kids and allowing the junior show ring to be an educational tool. And again, not saying one's right or one's wrong by any means, just that there's a very, very big difference there. Showing market animals, not nearly as popular in other countries. I'm not saying it's not done, but not as popular, but huge in terms of showing breeding animals. If I take the Palermo show in Argentina, most of the breeds that we would be familiar with show there. And when the Angus are showing, the Herefords or even the Shorthorns or any of the main breeds are showing, there's 1,000 to 2,000 people on the sidelines watching these events intensely. And many of those people maybe have never shown livestock, but actually are commercial cattlemen looking at these cattle to decide, okay, maybe I want to use that bull. Maybe I want to purchase that genetic line to put into my production system. So just worlds different. I think there's no question there's still a connection, a very strong one between the show ring and what works in the real world, where obviously we've talked about on here a lot that we've drifted from that to a certain degree in our junior livestock industry because we're focused on raising kids, not necessarily making an animal champion that's going to go out and perform in the real world. That's a big, big difference, huge difference.
Yeah, and I do think that, like, I know this is why you get so giddy about going to foreign shows in Argentina, because there is a definite stronger correlation with commercial world and what happens in the show ring than there is here in the U.S. because there's just not here. And so I'm sure that you're ready to move to one of those countries at any standpoint.
I don't know if I'm ready to move to it, but I appreciate it. And I believe this is where more of what our show ring was like long, long ago. And you can think about, I've been to the Royal Highland Show many times in Scotland. The same thing there. And I haven't been there for many years, but I assume it's still the same. I don't remember any younger people showing there whatsoever. It was all adults and structured similar to what I see in Palermo or in Argentina. And huge number of spectators, people there watching those events. It's interesting. My first exposure to livestock internationally was the summer before I went into graduate school. I spent in Australia working on purebred cattle, and most of those purebred cattle operations also had purebred sheep. Somewhat, we refer to them as purebred seed stock operations, not just strictly commercial, but selling replacement animals. And there were shows at that time, and there still are shows in Australia. I clipped some of those cattle and just things that they'd never seen done before. I can remember they gave me I'd asked about a blower, and it was basically a handheld, kind of like what you see at the Texas Majors and the goat and the lamb ring. You can't use a corded blower, it has to be a battery one. Well, this was a quartered one, but just think about picking up a Circuiteer 2 by hand and using that to blow an animal off. Just crazy. But they've obviously evolved and we're seeing more fitting and things like that going on. But I can assure you, my eyes became wide open that summer in Australia the people raising these cattle would take to the shows what they truly believed worked the very best in their environment. Not which one was maybe the best looking, not which one was this color or that color or any of the aesthetic things, but rather which one just flat out works. And that resonated with me to a certain degree. I don't think that that's where we need to be by any means here, but if we could use that as a base and then put those extras on there, make them attractive, give them some show ring appeal, things like that, then you've got the best of both worlds. But it's interesting to me. Ryan, you judged in Canada at least a couple times here in the past year or so. Where was the, I assume it was a junior show?
A couple years ago, I did Synergy in Calgary, Stampede, and they were all junior shows. And then the one that I did here just most recently, there was junior and open parts to the show. So I did a little of both.
And the junior show, comparable numbers, comparable anything to what one of our national shows would be?
No,
it's just different, isn't it?
Right. Their sheep have tails.
Yes, they do. Sheep have tails in just about every other country except for ours.
I'm very well. I just had to bring that up. My mother
and
was
you prefer
very,
them?
Very, no, my mother was very confused and very vocal about it. It was very embarrassing.
I can only imagine. I can think of the last international show that I judged would have been in Argentina, basically what they would refer to as their national Angus show. And there were no youth showing whatsoever. It was in a situation that was very, very much tied to the real world. Ryan had asked or had made a comment to me, I don't know, as several times, that he doesn't know why they hire him to judge internationally, Ryan. Because
I do not. Well, I mean, just because, like I've stated on here, I think that there is a much bigger connection or concern in other countries with the commercial cattle industry than the show ring. And whether Dale wants to admit it or not, there's not here in the United States. I know he wants to think there is, but there's not. And we basically are looking for, you know, unicorns and zoo animals and all this other stuff. And it's not that way. And so when I go and judge, I don't care if it's, you know, 30 minutes down the road or, you know, three continents over, I'm not going to change how I judge because I'm in a different country. Like that, it's just not going to happen. And maybe I should, maybe I shouldn't, but I'm not going to And so therefore, while there may not be one that's perfectly my type, like here in the U.S. when there is more times than not, but I'm going to find the one that is the closest to that. And it normally does not sit well with people. So
it's definitely different than what they're used to. And I posed the question to Ryan that I would think, and I can use the only show that I'm aware of that brings a lot of out-of-country judges in would be the Palermo Cattle Show in Argentina. And it used to be about every other year, at least on the Angus side, and I noticed the same on the Herefords, that they would bring somebody from the U.S. or another country. Oftentimes, it is the U.S. I think the philosophy would be by those breed associations that they don't want that person to come down and try to change what they're doing to fit their system, but they're truly curious for their opinion. They're wanting that different opinion on livestock. I don't know as extreme as just looking for those unicorns that you're talking about, Ryan, but they're looking at different breeders in the U.S. and saying, hey, I like the kind of cattle they're producing. Let's bring them down here and let them judge this show. I think sometimes it is different than what they're used to. Other times, maybe it's more aligned with them. I can say that I was judging with another gentleman that I knew in Argentina at that National Angus Show. Because I'm a little more real world based, possibly, or some of my grounding is, I prefer to keep it that way and then put all the extras on. We did not have any issues as far as what type of cattle we were using. They were very similar. So it's interesting to me. I believe for the most part, when they hire somebody from another country, they're truly wanting that opinion, like they're wanting your opinion, Ryan, not to change, not to try to adjust to what they're doing, but just go in and do what you do. And do you think you would not feel comfortable trying to adjust? I would not feel comfortable trying to adjust and pick something totally different than what I normally do.
No, I'm not. And maybe they do. Maybe they want something that, you know, they want that
they may not be ready for it, but that's
their of a different opinion. And I think maybe they want it, but I don't know if the exhibitors want it. Because like I said, I mean, I'm not going to say which show, but anyway, like man comes up afterwards and he's very upset that his animal didn't win and tells me that his animal's never been beat. And I said, okay. I said, well, I get that. I said, and the animal that had won was under me was a calf. And so my first question was, have you ever shown against the one that I used? Because thinking not, because it was calf. And,
you and thought that was a safe path to take.
And he was like, no. I said, well, so there's that. And so there's that part of it. But he's just like, and I said, I finally said, sir, did I not, when I said about your animal on the mic, do you disagree with it? No. I said, okay, so I don't understand. He's like, because we've won every show and we're supposed to win this one. I was like, I can't talk to you anymore. Okay, I can't. I'm sorry. And I mean, he wasn't rude. He was just, I mean, yeah. He wasn't like cussing or whatever, you know, but like, I was like, I can't. But you know, like in Canada, and people are going to get mad and whatever, like pears are a very big thing. They like pears. They love pears. And like, they want the calf to be the same size as the cow. And I mean, like, it's just whatever. I am not a huge pear fan. And it's all, every time I get called to ask the judge up there, I'm like, oh, this isn't going to work out. They love pears and I don't, and you know, all the things. And so, I mean, it's just a different type of thing. And so, like I said, more people get their feathers ruffled when I go judge in other countries than down here. And I don't blame them. But like I said, I'm just going to go and do what I do regardless of where I'm at. And if they don't like that, they don't have to ask me to judge anymore. And that's fine. I mean, I'm good with it. Like, so, but it is just so drastically different. I, I, I can remember when I went to Mexico. That was the first time I ever judged in a foreign country. And, that was an experience.
What were you sorting there?
Brangus.
Okay.
And one half of the show ring was like seated tables and these people in like, you know, tuxedos with white gloves bringing people drinks. And I was all about that part. I was like, wow, this is good. But like, you know, you had to have a translator and all this other stuff. And that was fine. But like, it was just such, I mean, like, and I was very young too. I was very young. And I guess when they got me from the airport or whatever, they thought that they could just, you know, tell me what was going to happen or how it needed to happen. And that didn't work. And so then that, when I didn't do as I was told, that was uncomfortable. And, you know, it was a mess.
So you were told who you were going to use?
Yes. In no uncertain terms.
And I'm assuming this was in Mexico City?
No, it was in Chihuahua.
No. Got it. Interesting.
Yeah. And it did not go well. And so I've never been asked to be back to Mexico, and I do not expect to, and I'm okay with that. But getting back to the point, it was just such a different atmosphere. And the one thing that I do love about show, and you can see this online or whatever too, you don't have to go to Zoom, their enthusiasm is way better than ours is.
It's huge. And there's now, it's not even kids in the show ring they're cheering for.
No.
It's just the excitement of the show.
Now, I think part of that is because maybe they don't have the opportunity to choose from 15 shows a weekend to go to. So, but
this sometimes it's their one and only show or one of the very few.
Right. But the enthusiasm that those breeders and that crowd and everybody there has, I wish we had that here in the United States because it would just be amazing. And like I said, as Dale said, these aren't kids. These are adults out here and, you know, ranches and all this other stuff compete. But like, they are so into it. And that part is truly, truly cool. And I mean, I think that's in all foreign countries, not just Mexico or Argentina or whatever. Like I said, I mean, at that Synergy show in Canada was a junior show. Those people were a great crowd. Calgary Stampede was a great crowd. So yeah, like
I think that is more the norm. I think the Royal Highland Show in Scotland is more because of the alcohol consumption all day long, helped the enthusiasm there. But if I were to say which show have I ever attended that I saw the most enthusiasm, it would be that Palermo show in Argentina. Not only the number of people there. If the bull show is starting at noon, you would need to be there by 10 o'clock to be able to either sit somewhere or stand along the rail that you could really see the cattle well. It would get that crowded. And this is a fairly big stadium.
Huge stadium.
Just incredible, the excitement level. I mean, I wish we could get that back. I talked to Tom Burke about this and a few others. Tom has been to Palermo and been to every show in the world, I think, over the last 70 years. But he compares it back to the old Chicago International, when people would actually put a sports jacket on, maybe even a tie, just to go watch the show. It was that big of an event. And Ryan, you may have hit on something. At that time, if we go back to the 60s and 70s, during the Chicago International heydays, there weren't a lot of shows. I mean, I don't assume that these breeders would go to more than one, two, maybe three shows a year total. So it does become a bigger deal. If we just had a couple national shows in this country and that was it, guess what? We'd get a lot more people turning out, wouldn't we?
All right, sure.
I would assume, like, anyway.
Yeah, I'm certain, but it's just the excitement level at those things. And like I said, I've never been to the Argentine deal like Dale has, but I've watched it. And stuff like that. It's just crazy. Like
it's something that everybody that's in our world needs to experience in some way.
Right. Like if we could get a fourth of that type of enthusiasm and excitement over here, I would be happy. I would be satisfied. But no. And I mean, just so, so cool. But
it is good. You tell the story about the first international show. My first show would have been in Canada shortly after I returned from Australia. And while in Australia, I saw some of the best Angus cattle and Murray Grey cattle that I'd ever seen. There were some Murray Grey cattle there I thought were amazing. I'd seen a few in this country at Denver, I believe, but nothing like what was over there. I was convinced they were just sending their shit to us and nothing of any value. Somehow, the Canadian Murray Grey Association was contacting Australia to try to get a judge from over there to come judge one of their shows. And they weren't able to do so. And they'd brought my name up. I believe it was one of the breeders that I'd spent some time with over the summer, and gave them my name and said, hey, here's somebody in college right there in the United States, much easier to get to your show, understands that the cattle, loves Murray Grey cattle. So they call me, I accept the show. I go up there, Ryan, and unlike what I saw in Australia, these cattle, and I don't remember what the oldest cattle in there were, but similar to what we'd have at one of our shows, I think. I mean, most of them weren't much over waist high. A little, not much. I mean, these were little, very, very little cattle, kind of like the baby beef days that Tom Burke talks about. I went through, I did the best I could sorting those cattle, left there. And like you, I didn't have anybody angry with how I sorted the cattle, but you just get that feeling that this is not maybe what they expected. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah, that's what I get.
I mean, and nobody, everybody was very polite, very everything, but you could tell. And I thought, I'm probably as fundamental or commercial or real world based as anybody, but I don't think it was still not enough at that right. time. That was a long time ago.
So then magnify that to me.
Yeah.
And look the way I look. Yeah, it's something. I mean,
yeah, you're probably just better off telling them you don't know if this is going to go well.
I do.
I appreciate you going and doing it. I'm sure some of the kids that showed to you were happy to do it, irregardless of how they did.
Oh, the kids and children were wonderful. It's just, and like I said, nobody was really angry, but like you, I mean, and again, because I look at the crowd when I'm talking, like you can look and they're like, what hell is going on?
Oh, it's not the best feeling.
And so, but yeah, I mean, it doesn't bother me, but no, kids are awesome in Canada. I mean, way awesome, but, and then the other thing that I think is so different is like, so for the most part, you know, I think Canada is the most similar to us in terms of showing, but like the way they show is similar to the way we show, like actual show them in other countries, not so much. Like that, what they call showing cows is not exactly what I don't know. I consider showing cows.
I think they're evolving. I agree with you, Ryan. I think Canada is as close to where we are, especially having a junior program and the type, and we keep referring to cattle. I have not been, other than the Royal Highland Show, watching some of the sheep show, some of the dairy cattle show. I can't say that I've ever watched much else. A sheep show in Palermo, I guess I watched for a little while with Tom Burke. I've never seen a hog show outside of the country.
I haven't either.
We keep referring to cattle just because that's what we've attended, or that was kind of our area of having some experience in.
They got to have a lot of goat shows in South Africa because that's where these
you would assume. Chase and I are yet to find one. We haven't looked real hard, but every time we see a goat operation, we'll pull over and try to visit and go through them if we can. So back to Canada, they're probably the closest to what the United States show ring is like of any of the other countries that I've been to in terms of how they show and so forth. But even in not so much in Canada, but outside of Canada, almost every other country, when you talk about preparing those cattle for a show, clipping, fitting, all of those things, the first time I went to Argentina many years ago, they basically put a halter on that calf or that animal in the pasture, took some hair off and let it into the show ring.
Now they're not broke.
No, well, I mean, it's they're at the show a week ahead of time to try to get those cattle more broke, more show ready.
To not kill somebody.
Do a little bit of clipping, but it's evolved. Even in the past 10 years in Argentina, they're not where we are in terms of fitting and clipping, but they've bridged that gap probably more than I ever imagined.
I agree with that on like the Argentina ones. You can see that somebody
is putting some fitting into them.
Right. But like, I meant like the actual showmanship.
Yes.
Was probably the just like, woo.
So it is definitely different. Wow. And at the Royal Highland Show, everybody, Ryan, puts a, you know, those white frock you used to use.
Yeah. The inspector gadget.
Yeah. When Skaggs would take you into the meat cooler, those days you loved.
Yeah, I did not.
To teach you about the carcass side and what animals look like hanging upside down. They all show in those white, I call them frocks. It's just interesting, the protocols and how things have evolved to be different. And I am very intrigued by those and hope I can continue to attend or even judge internationally some more. I enjoy that probably as much as anything. The Palermo show would be if you asked me what's your bucket list show. That's probably one of them. Definitely one of them. I mean, just the number of spectators. I'd like those kind of cattle. I like that the direction that they've taken. It's exciting for me to do those things.
I would be all in on judging the Palermo show because I've watched it enough that I think I could hang there, but I don't know. Some of these other ones I'm not sure about, but anyway.
No, but it's good. And I appreciate you bringing this up, Ryan. I think it's interesting. We just always assume, or maybe I did when I was younger, and I think people still do, that what we see here in the United States in terms of a junior show, you would assume exists in other countries. Maybe not to this extent, but would exist. Maybe similar to what we see. Similar to what they have in Canada. But outside of the U.S. and Canada, I could be mistaken. I haven't been to Australia in a while, and there are countries in Europe that I haven't attended shows. But I don't believe that junior livestock program exists anywhere else.
Well, I do think Australia has a few because I've been asked to judge, and a couple times in Australia. Show? And they called it a junior show.
So. Then I would assume that they're progressing that direction.
I mean, like I said, I should say I've only been asked by one, and it was the same show 2 years in a row, and it's during the State Fair Steer Show, so I don't think it's ever going to work out. But they both times that person contacted me about judging that show, it was or at least my impression by the name and what they said, it was a junior show. So maybe there are a few.
It's exciting.
In Australia, but like I said, Callie's judged in Mexico several times. I know several people that have judged down in South America a lot, and none of them have talked about junior shows to me. So there you go.
It's interesting. I've been to the Royal Highland Show several times in Scotland, but not outside of there. I've toured different livestock operations.
Judge wear that little white lab coat thingy?
I don't remember.
Yeah, that.
I'm gonna say. I think they do.
Yeah,
but I do not remember.
Don't call me. Don't.
And I believe if I remember correctly, they turn the sheep loose. They're judging the sheep running around loose.
Not that I'm ever going to get to judge the Palermo show because I'm probably not. But like my biggest concern is that most judges wear mud boots and I couldn't do that.
Only because it rains a lot there and it's muddy in the show ring. It's an outside arena.
I couldn't do that. That wouldn't work.
You could not put muck boots on to judge.
No, nope.
You just go.
I'd just go. Yep.
Ruin that $1,000 pair of boots.
Yep. And they may have to like pull me out of the mud too because I get stuck. But I'm not gonna do it. Not gonna do it.
I love it. Well, Ryan, this was good. I know you are ready for your favorite segment.
I'm actually ready for my Falmer's Almanac episode and my EPD episode. Okay. And you're supposed to be in charge of them.
Ever since yesterday, I think you lectured me on the Farmer's Almanac because we both are interested in it and don't understand it. Mm-hmm. I did some research and there are two people that I can reach out to that appear to have some basis. One of them is the editor of what they call, I believe, the new Farmer's Almanac, or maybe the old. I don't know which.
Is this like the New Testament or something?
Yes, I did send an email. Now, that doesn't mean they will ever respond to me, but I'm searching. And if anybody out there understands how the Farmer's Almanac incorporates itself into livestock production, in other words, when to wean, when to castrate, things like that, and understands it well and can give us some scientific-based, maybe just logical information or their experience, if you're fairly knowledgeable, we will bring you on to explain this if we get no responses from those two emails I sent out yesterday. But it is intriguing to me, and there are, shockingly, as Ryan puts it, there are very reputable, successful livestock breeders that will follow the Farmer's Almanac. And I'm not even questioning whether they should or should not, because I have a manager that here as of a couple of years ago started doing so. And I don't think you're going to get him to change, Ryan.
I'm not asking anybody to change. I just would like to understand why. Because
I would too. All I can understand is the impact of sunspots, the gravitational pull from the moon, weather patterns. I can't go very deep into it, but I can tell you that I've spoken with many, many breeders that have no question in their mind that they're better off following the Farmer's Almanac than not. No question. Okay, with that said, no more Farmer's Almanac for a moment. I would love to tell you a little bit about our sponsor. You've heard me talk about the original Phantom Halter, Begone Adhesive Remover, and BW Final Drive that assist with County Fair premium auctions. These products and services are brought to you by the Hunker Show family. This family is deeply rooted in the show stock industry. They get it. They love it. We appreciate their support of this podcast and the junior livestock industry. Visit phantomhalter.com for more information and use the coupon code BTR for a 10% discount on all purchases. Jimmy writes in, I heard you guys were considering every 2 weeks instead of your weekly podcast drop. Is this true? Please continue every week drop.
Who the hell said that? All
possible. I don't know. I remember you and I don't think we discussed it on here, though. Talked about it. Just are we able to continue with our schedules?
We
to
do did.
This? Yeah, sir. There was a couple of years ago. We said,
man.
No, I don't think we ever seriously considered it, but I know there were a few weeks that between Clifton, you and I.
Well, now that he's brought it up, I'm all about the 2 week thing.
It would make scheduling much easier, but I don't.
But
I don't
then think I wouldn't get to talk to Clifton every week.
And Clifton, before these guys, he does educate us on different topics.
That would be very disappointing, not getting talked.
Today was about, am I allowed to talk about what we said earlier today?
You go right ahead. You talk about whatever you want.
I have a theory. Every time
you're the one that pays for Clifton.
Every time I go out in public and observe people, children, I've become convinced that the human race, with each generation, we've created a situation where we're becoming less intelligent. And I don't mean by technology or anything like that, but we no longer have a survival of the fittest. We almost have a situation that it's not ideal. I watch children misbehaving and parents completely ignoring this in a public situation. And those things, when I say misbehaving, I mean way out there, disturbing the entire restaurant or area that they're in. And I continue to see more and more of this. And I'm thinking, what is going on that our human race is going in a very bad direction, Ryan? If you were throwing a fit in public, would your mother not have grabbed you by the ear or something
as a child? You know, but I didn't do that. But
no.
Yeah.
But do you see it?
Oh, yeah. I see small children that you think, like, why are they not getting the shit beat out of?
And not only that, that the parents appear to be totally ignoring the situation, like that's what they've been told to do. Mm-hmm. Don't even acknowledge that they're throwing this fit. I don't know. Okay, we got a little sidetracked there. Back to the Every Other Week podcast. No, Jimmy, I don't believe that we're going to go that direction. There are weeks that you question. I think there's been an occasion that, or once that I can remember, that Ryan wasn't able to be on here, and at least a couple times that I was not, just because of scheduling issues. But no, we can plan.
We put one out every single week. Yes. I had to do it by myself, and you tried to do one by yourself one time.
I think I was 15 minutes when I did.
Yeah, it didn't work out real well. I did a much better job by myself than you did. But no, I would say that we're going to continue on the same weekly thing. And for all you people that want to send me these messages and all these things about, well, why haven't you done County Fair Mentality again? Or why haven't you done Trending again? All this stuff. You need to start yelling at Dale. Okay? Send them to Dale. Yell at him. Because
I don't open as many of those things.
I bring these things up to him, and then he's like, we just did that. And so anyway, y'all need to start yelling at Dale more about what you want to hear about instead.
Oh, I do have, and you'd brought it up. We are going to go with the topic kind of back to the basics and things that we oftentimes don't think about that are important. So we will redo some of those things. Rachel has the next question. I love the podcast and have learned a great deal from listening. Mm-hmm. Can you cover an episode? Here you go. Here's a basic topic.
Yell at Dale.
Can you cover? I found this message on the Beyond the Ring Facebook page. Can you cover an episode topic of weighing in livestock across species? The various forms of determining the weight, whether it's an actual weight, whether you declare the weight, and how different shows do it differently.
We have done that, but we could do it again.
I believe we have. It was probably longer ago than we realize.
Yeah, but no,
I don't even know the episode title, but we did.
And I know we did it. I know we did one about this, and I know we did it one about like weight breaks and getting in the weight and all that. But I'm pretty sure that we did one about whether it's turning your weight or going across the scale or all that other stuff. But I mean, there's been like 260 something of them, so you're gonna have to research. But I mean, we can do it again. I'll put that in my notes to yell at Dale at.
Perfect. So, Rachel, we will do it again sometime. Ashley, I have a question for Ryan. These are the kind that I when I see that first sentence that way, Ryan.
You don't read the rest of it. You're just
they
like,
make that's it. Yeah. They make it automatically. Uh-huh. You had once mentioned running for public office. Have you looked into this further? Are you still considering such?
I would run for public office. I just don't think that I'm going to get elected because y'all think Trump speaks out of turn. I'm really bad. Like I try to be extremely professional on this podcast. If y'all heard me talking like to Dale on the phone or Clifton and Dale beforehand, people, y'all would think that Trump was a saint. So no one has approached me. I have gone at it like this. That I have decided that until Sheree is either locked up into an insane asylum, which she should have been already, or no longer on this earth, which we don't want to happen, I'm probably not going to run for public office unless somebody comes to me, because she's going to have great issues with it. She's already said she has issues with it. She does not want it to happen. She refuses whatever. Like, she is out on it completely. So, I mean, but, you know, I think I would be wonderful. I don't know if I get elected, but I would make a lot of headlines. Like, I think that I could at least be a Fox commentator after. So,
yeah, I think so. I think you could get more headline than AOC.
Yeah, for sure. But no.
And whoever that new guy running for mayor of New York is.
Yeah, I will never rule it out. But until somebody that actually thinks they can get me elected comes towards me and they're like, okay, here's the plan. Yeah, I'm probably going to wait for a little bit.
Not to mention the number of dollars it would take in the political fund.
That's why I want somebody to come to me.
Yeah. Say, hey, we've got this X amount of dollars set aside. I think if we do A, B, and C, you're going to take over the next Senate seat in Texas.
Yeah, I'm all for it, which I've got to be better than the two that we have.
You're being a little critical.
I'm just saying they're not good.
And I couldn't handle, I just despise Washington, D.C. I couldn't handle spending time there. I just couldn't.
I think I'd be fine.
No, oh, it's a terrible place. Terrible, terrible place. But now that Trump's cleaned up the crime, maybe it's a little better.
There you go. And I am so sorry to the people in North Carolina that I'm going to judge at the end of the month that Dale was so rude about your state.
No, I was not. I was just mentioning this happened there. And yeah, nothing negative there. It'll all be good. Until next week, be safe.
Y'all come back now, you hear?